I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We do have Horowitz, and Horowitz, who's riding shotgun here over the next 6 hours at CBS Sports Radio with you?
We got Sean Kilkelly.
Sean Kilkelly?
That's it.
Oh, wow. That's good. Sean representing Ireland at the huge United Nations Summit on Golf. Sean Kilkelly. I like that. That should be a boxer. I'm watching some boxing right now. Sean Kilkelly. Aye. Sean Kilkelly. You ever looked a shark in the eye? Sean Kilkelly. Also, we had Mike McCann just finished an update. And I think he has one of the, you know, again, I'm in the radio business, so, you know, I appreciate good voices. His delivery, his voice, it's big league. That's why he's, you know, on The Fan in New York City and CBS Sports Radio. But when I heard him, I think one other time, he's either doing updates before my show or I'd heard him previously. I said, it sounded like Lester Holt from NBC, right? Nightly News and Dateline, you know, Lester, like, let's go to Keith Morrison about the house by the hamlet. And I'm listening to Mike. Horowitz, did you get a little sampling of we can line up Lester Holt versus Mike McCann in his CBS Sports Radio update?
We will do that next segment.
Next segment. I want to do that. And I'm not slamming Mike McCann. I think he sounds better than Lester Holt, and there's no reason why McCann should not replace Holt on the NBC Nightly News. We also will get into the NBA playoffs. Great game tonight in Houston. Rockets stay alive in that series. They weren't going to get eliminated, but if you're down 0-3, it's over. You're not winning four in a row against Golden State. 126-121 is the final in OT. Warriors now lead that best of 7, 2 games out of 1. And I'm looking at Durant, who dropped 46. Harden had 41. Gordon was the difference with 30. And their bench outscored him 21-7. Yet the game went to overtime, which is a miracle. And I've been watching Durant in the playoffs, and I listened to Rick Barry when I did an interview with him on Friday on my statewide show in Michigan. And he said, why would Durant ever want to leave? He goes, I think he might be the most important player on that team. And I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? Well, then you go back and you start going through the numbers with Durant and you watch him tonight. And I wonder, is Kevin Durant, and this is kind of not crazy, but it makes you think, the most important Warrior when this season is over, the most important Warrior they need to keep? Is it KD? Is it Draymond? Is it Steph? Is it Klay Thompson? I doubt Cousins. I think they're better without Cousins. Nothing personal against him, but how many guys can you have on the floor who all want the rock? And what Rick Barry said, and I mentioned it earlier, Kevin Durant in New York City, the guy can't handle heat on the social networks on Twitter. What's he going to do in New York if he doesn't deliver? Explain that. And why would the Warriors are moving into a new state-of-the-art arena? And do you let Klay go and keep KD, Draymond, and Steph? But even then, I'm trying to think who. Tonight, look at the box score. This is on the road. Monster playoff game. And KD had 46, Draymond had 19. Had a triple-double with 11 and 10. 11 boards, 10 assists. Steph had 17. And I don't know if he's right. He had 5 fouls. Klay had 16. But all these guys could all drop 40. You know, outside of really Draymond, but his triple-double says all you need to know about his game. Harden and Gordon combined for 71. And like I said, the Rockets bench, and you heard D'Antoni and the McCann update, say it was a difference. Shumpert had 10. That's a bonus. You know, you won the game by 5 in OT. So who's the most important Warrior when this run is done, that they need to make sure he sticks around. And then from the Eastern Final Four, I was kind of writing everybody off, but I'm watching some really good playoff basketball. And Philadelphia surprised me. I still don't think they have enough defense, but they really have played some defense, and Butler has stepped up to be a leader. He's been selfish for the most part in his career, but he really has stepped up in the last couple of games. And then Boston, when Kyrie's on, they're tough to beat. And then you have Milwaukee who responded, where they look like not fear the deer, but hashtag deer in the headlights in that series opener. And we watch the West, and you see the epic Blazers-Nuggets game. And I think we've just said that there's nobody in the East who can beat whoever survives the West, which I still think will be Golden State. But I'm looking at the Eastern Conference, and I'm watching Milwaukee and what they did in Boston. I'm saying, they could win the NBA Finals in 6 or 7. Could Philly? I thought Philly was done. I thought they would get swept with how bad they looked, just like Milwaukee did in the opener against the Celtics, in the same way the Sixers did in that opener against Kawhi and Toronto. There is some good playoff basketball and hockey right now, and you had Boston survive, and it's just a good time in the world of sports right now. It really is fantastic. Avalanche and San Jose tied up at 1 early on, third period. Like I said, Bruins took a 3-2 lead in that best of 7, scoring late to beat Columbus in Boston 4-3. So answer those questions. I need your most important Warrior, and then I'll touch more on the Stanley Cup playoffs later. And is there anybody from the East who can beat any of those Final Four in the West in a 7-game series? And then we'll continue our conversation on the Kentucky Derby. Everybody's talking about horse racing. They win. There are leading updates, finishing updates. First time in, 145 years, the winner's disqualified. 65-1 long shot wins. I get the call from Birmingham, Jason, a listener. $24 bet paid him over $11,000 because he had Country House in his boxed trifecta. Over 11 grand. So when people are hearing the money that's being won today, $3,000 on exactas, I think they're pick five or whatever they call it at Churchill on Derby Day. Big pool of money. I think it paid $544,000, if I read that correct earlier. Horowitz, you like to go over the Jersey casinos and bet. Did you go bet the Derby today?
I didn't. I was debating doing it at home. They had an offer through the FanDuel Sportsbook linked to TVG, which is like an off-track betting site, and they had a promotion. I just didn't want to have to deposit into TVG when I do all my other sports betting through FanDuel and DraftKings.
Boy, when you just told me you didn't bet on the Derby, I thought, oh my Lord, is he homesick?
I had an itch, and then I was debating going down to the racetrack down in Monmouth, New Jersey, to bet down there.
Is that a harness track?
Yes. We have a harness track in Monmouth, and then they do the trotters up at the Meadowlands next to MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, right next to MetLife Stadium, you bet. And then now, do the sports books in the legalizing sports gambling in Jersey, are they doing horse racing like they do out in the Vegas sports books?
The actual sports books, I believe so, yes. It's the mobile sports books that it's tough because it's regulated through the, the TVG and the off-track betting over here.
Well, depending on your state, you can get that, what Churchill Downs has done with that app, to be able to bet on horse racing, watch it on TVG, not the TVG app, but Churchill has their own, and it's pretty simple and easy. And like I said, I don't sit around and bet on the ponies, but, Breeders' Cup, Triple Crown, you know, a big Sunday in the middle of winter or something. I'll sit there with my brother and we'll play. You can watch them on TV now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's awesome.
It is.
The only, to be honest, part of the reason I didn't get in is because I didn't have a feel. They didn't know if the track would be fast, whether it would be sloppy, the favorites out. I was like, you know what? Instead of jumping through hoops to create a new account and then I bet and I don't know, you know, where this is going to end up going, I sat it out.
I went the other way. I wasn't going to bet today because my son had a soccer game. We were hanging out all day before I came in to do this broadcast. But when I looked and I saw the track really wet, I said, this is the day you need to throw on a long shot. And what kills me and what drives me nuts, even at this hour, is that I said to myself, throw 50 bucks on something 40, 50, 60 to 1. So I looked at all the horses that were in the field. And then I said, well, man, you know, this War of Will is pretty fast. And, you know, his training times, the speed was the best of any horse. And it's 14 to 1. I'm going to throw 100 on War of Will. Well, he's the horse in the video when he's making his move where Maximum Security bounces over and impedes his path to shoot right past Country House, who was coming on the outside. Code of Honor was just behind to the left. If you watch the video, War of Will's coming. I'm sitting there having that pizza with the kids. I stand up. Matter of fact, I saw him making his move, and I'm like, you know, I'm looking. That's the one. He was the one horse. He finished seventh. And I'm like, he's going to go here. And I didn't see him get bumped in my 11-year-old, who knows nothing about horse racing, says, hey, that horse got in his way. He says this, watching it live. And I'm like, they're not going to bump up my guy because Country House had finished second at the time and Code of Honor was third. When Maximum Security was thrown out, then it was Country House, Code of Honor, who Tom Brady said on national TV that he liked. And Tacitus ended up being third. So it bothers me that I didn't throw 50 bucks on a really long shot because I didn't care if I lost the money, but it would have been nice to win like $5,000 or $6,000.
Look, it's always good to win the money. I would have been happy in the long run. I probably would have felt a little grimy though winning it that way.
Yeah, when you're sitting there, and if you would have Country House, well, even the trainer and the owner and the jockey, they said they feel bad for Maximum Security because you were given it, and Maximum Security had a great ride outside of that bump, and really it was more about what he did to War of Will, not what he did to Country House.
Right, and the problem is, to me, and I'm not a big, you know, harness racing fan, I like to go to the track every, you know, couple times each summer and bet on them, but in a field that large, coming down that stretch, it's really, how do you avoid contact, you know? I feel happens all the time.
Well, and also another thing that as I'm watching the race, all the mud coming up, and the thing about Maximum Security, if you look, his jockey had a clean visor, clean goggles.
Because he went wire to wire.
Yeah, he was out in front the entire way. And you get the mud coming up on these other guys, and they're like blind. They look like they put Saran wrap on some of the goggles, just trying to probably be able to, you know, have it slide off while they're flying around the track. Here's what's up, Horowitz, is that it's 12:16 Eastern time, 9:16 Pacific, and we're talking about horse racing and the Kentucky Derby. The sport is a winner today, even with the controversy.
Agreed. Now, what's going to be interesting is how do fans look, you know, heading into the Preakness and the Belmont? Because normally, everyone in America is rooting for a Triple Crown. Are people going to start rooting for Maximum Security because maybe they felt that he probably should have gotten it? I don't know. And I'm curious what America thinks.
Yeah, we all cheer for Maximum Security. That's what. Anytime we're going out gambling with the boys, you're like, you know what? I hope we end up in Maximum Security.
It's been a couple nights I've been close.
By the way, where is Graceffo right now?
Probably at the bars or in Maximum Security. There's a good chance.
All right. Thank you, Horowitz, back at CBS Sports Radio. If you want to join us, your thoughts on the Derby, the most important warrior, and also, is there a beast from the East who could best the best team from the West? I'm really into rhyming and poems and all this early on this Sunday morning. 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
Huge is America's voice on sports. This is the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. We are talking about a historic day in horse racing. It may be a negative to some who had a ticket on Maximum Security, who was disqualified after winning it. Country House 65-1, a long shot, created a $24 bet by Jason in Birmingham, Alabama, and he won over $11,000. A lot of conversation, more on the Derby since maybe the last Triple Crown winner. This is a big day, so we're taking your feedback on that. Also, Rockets survive in overtime, 126-121 over Golden State. Looking at Golden State and Durant with 46 on Saturday night, who's the most important warrior? That if you're the owner of the Warriors moving into your new arena in downtown San Francisco right by the Bay, who is the most important warrior? You have to think about that one. And is there one of the final four teams from the East who can beat the best in the West in the NBA Finals? A lot of conversation over the next 90 minutes before Mraz from the DA show takes over 2 a.m. until 6 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. until 3 a.m. or 11 p.m. until 3 p.m. West Coast time. Mraz, he's awesome. So join us at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Let's go to Amanda in Indiana. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Bill. You're quite the sports gentleman. I love your show.
Thank you.
I hope that we can get past the Kentucky Derby. I think that Maximum Security should have been the winner. I think the jockey should have been disqualified. He's the one that drives the horse. He could have sent that horse through the puddle and gotten all up there. He was running it wire to wire. But I'm hoping that they'll run him in the Preakness and the Belmont and verify that he is the absolute the winner. Because I was very disappointed what they did. The horse was not to blame. I think the jockey was lying. The horse is used to audience crowd sounds. And when he was telling that story, I just had this feeling he's lying because he directed the horse out of the lane. But I'm looking forward to the Preakness and the Belmont because I want him to win those two.
Thank you, Amanda, in Indiana. And I don't know if there's going to be a public sentiment with Maximum Security that you want to see him win the Preakness or Belmont because some think he was ripped off. I don't. I'm actually rooting for Country House. We love the underdogs. We love the long shots. 65-1, he'll drop in the next race, I would think. You know, 10-1, 9-1, 8-1. He'll have to be the favorite, 7-1. And why not let Country House go from 65-1 to winning the Triple Crown, but there'll be the sentiment, and as I was talking about it with Horowitz, that if he does win the Triple Crown, they'll look back and they'll talk about the stewards and disqualifying Maximum Security at Churchill Downs. And they'll say that, well, that's an asterisk, which we love in sports, a self-imposed asterisk on Bonds or McGuire or A-Rod or Clements. In sports, we love it. Oh, you got it. You know, Michael wasn't playing. You love the asterisk that if Country House wins the Preakness and the Belmont with the way sports is in America. Oh, it's not a real Triple Crown, man. No. He was given. And I still go back, and this has nothing to do with Country House. I go back to War of Will, who was cut off by Maximum Security. And War of Will, the 14-1 shot, and I know I'm kind of stuck on this because I had $100 on War of Will to win. Does he shoot the gap in the mud and win it? There's so much there. And then somebody asked me, oh, why don't they just rerun it? Now, well, this isn't a track and field meet. But if you are going to punish Maximum Security and bump him off the win spot, the War of Will gets jobbed by impeding his path. War of Will gets the resolution of what? Finishing seventh? And Country House, who is coming up on the right side, if you look at that video, wins the Kentucky Derby at 65-1. The ecstatic people are people who, you know, normally don't bet horses, who threw $20 on Country House or threw Country House at 65-1 inside an exacta box or trifecta box. So you can join us on air, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. We'll wrap up with some of your comments here the next hour and 20 minutes on the Kentucky Derby. And I want to get into the NBA playoffs. Who's the most important warrior? That if you remove this player or players, the Warriors' run is done. And is there a beast in the East from those Final Four teams that could knock off Golden State, Houston, Portland, or Denver in the NBA Finals? Your huge opinions at 1-855-212-4CBS.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show. Once again, here's Huge Bill Simonson.
We are back live across North America. You know, I'm looking at some of the TV coverage, and I see Maximum Security disqualified officially for impeding the field. It wasn't the field. He was impeding my horse that I had $100 on, War of Will, at 14-1. He wasn't impeding anybody else. Now I'm getting irritated. I'm thinking that would have been $1,400. And I'd be on the national show, 355 radio stations in North America talking about that. I knew who was going to win. Longest odds to win the Derby, Country House, the second longest ever. Dunrail was 91-1 in 1913. And they're talking about the all-time controversial endings. Horowitz, what do you think is the most controversial ending in sports? Because this would be up there. It's a Derby that hasn't happened in 145 years where, you know, there's three big races and you win one, you're Maximum Security and you're bounced and DQ'd. And I think the Saints and the Rams, you know, McVay was ironically there at Churchill Downs. Some people liken this to the Soviets in U.S. in the Olympics in 72. I didn't go that far. That was kind of crazy. A lot of people talked about the Saints and the Rams. What do you think's the most controversial ending in sports?
It's tough to rank them. I mean, there's a couple that first come to mind when you mention that. You have the Tuck Rule game, of course.
Oh, yes.
The beginning of the Pats dynasty.
In the snow, right? Yep.
You have a couple years ago, the ending of that Packer-Seahawk game.
Yes.
Where both guys had the ball. The Pine Tar game.
Yep. With Brett and the Yankees,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I would put this right up there with all of those.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if... we'll throw that out to the audience. The most controversial ending ever in American sports history in your lifetime, whether you're 18 listening or you're 88. Because you will look at this derby, and here's where it will gather steam. If Maximum Security wins the Preakness and Belmont Horowitz, then you're going to get people screaming that this should be one of the greatest horses ever, and he was robbed. They'll forget that he cut off War of Will. Whether it was muddy, slid over, it was impeding, which, based on the stewards and the disqualification, the video evidence is there. But if he wins the next two races, this is what horse racing needs. It will become a story. Would you call this, because a 65-1 long shot, would you look at what happened today, Horowitz, and put that with one of the all-time crazy endings in American sports history?
It's up there. Here's what I would say, though. It doesn't crack the proverbial Mount Rushmore, I guess, of controversial right. endings, only because the majority of the people that were watching it didn't understand what the controversy was. If you compare, you know, the ratings and the total number of people that are watching the Kentucky Derby, I'd say probably 5% to 10% knew what was going on in that inquiry. The other 90% are casual people who like to wear funny hats and drink mint juleps and watch horse racing three times a year, and they had no clue. And imagine folks around America, husbands are turning to their wives are turning to their husbands, kids are turning to their parents saying, "What just happened? I thought this horse won," and they don't know how to explain it. So because of that, it is controversial. It's not the upper echelon to me.
It's pretty funny. The Saints were trolling the Derby. After the Derby, they tweeted out an emoji of somebody looking through an eyeglass, like we see. That was pretty good.
Although I will say this about the Saints. They're starting to tiptoe towards that UCF status. You know, get over it. You lost. It's over. Let's move on.
Horowitz is angry, and an angry Horowitz is good for CBS Sports Radio.
I don't know if it's good for the people in the building.
It is, because I'll let you deliver as a Giants fan. We're done here in an hour and 10 minutes. Before we're done, I will let you deliver why Daniel Jones was a solid pick and the right choice in the NFL draft. You weren't working last weekend. I was actually looking forward to that, and I follow you on Twitter, and you have a great Twitter account. You're honest with your opinions. I love it. So I'll let you deliver that later. So hold that, because you're angry, and I don't want to make you happy or have a warm, fuzzy moment.
Thanks.
You got to keep New Yorkers on the edge if they're going to add to the show. Like, you don't feed them during the show, and you don't compliment them.
That's one. Thanks.
And then after your Daniel Jones take at the end of the show, I'll go, "Great job, Horowitz. You were awesome."
And then I'll need an ice bath to cool off.
Yeah. By the way, this is from 2012. Most controversial endings in sports up until that point. They had the Packers Seahawks. They had USA, USSR basketball, which I mentioned, where some people, the Tuck rule is there. Pine tar is there. Oh, the Holyfield Tyson bite fight.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. The fifth down game with Colorado and Missouri. I don't remember that one. Braves Pirates 19th inning call. Don't remember that. A Jamie Sale, David Pelletier Olympic figure skating judging scandal. I don't know if I have my Olympic figure skating judging scandals ready to bust out over a cold beer and argue with Horowitz.
You weren't fuming at the TV watching that one?
Oh, I tell you, first thing I thought today when they disqualified Maximum Security, I go, "What about the figure skating judging scandal?
You people think this is a controversy?"
Oh, I watched the documentary, Blades of Glory. Told the whole story. I watched Blades of Glory every time I want to get it right in sports. Especially figure skating judging scandals. Oh, my Lord. Here's the 50 most mind-blowing endings in sports. Wait, why is everything from 2012? Am I in a time warp right now on my Google? My Lord. Can we get something? Oh, hold on. Most controversial moments. This is from April of 2018. 2002 playoff game, Giants and Niners.
Oh, don't get me started.
Was that the game where Trey Junkin left the stadium in his uniform and went to a bar?
that one, to that point in my life, that was the worst thing that had ever happened to me. Before the DeSean Jackson punt return, that ending and that blown lead and Shockey getting into it, the fans, that game almost killed, you know, 13-year-old Ben.
Yeah, because there's a difference between incredible endings and controversial endings in sports. Because you have, like, on this list, they had the Music City Miracle, but there's nothing controversial about that. You know what I mean? I don't think, you know, but then here's what they're saying. You know, Adam Schefter insisted that the ball had illegally traveled forward, so there was some debate in the video. Oh, here's one I remember, too. Tigers, Armando Galarraga retired the first 26 batters. Everyone thought in the stadium he had gotten 27 out of 27. Jason Donald hit a soft ground ball. A covering Galarraga beat Donald to first base. Everyone, that is, other than the first base umpire, Jim Joyce.
Oh, yeah.
Who broke down in tears afterwards. But that was a regular season game. It wasn't like it was, you know, game six of the ALCS.
Right.
You understand? This was the Kentucky Derby today, right?
It's the granddaddy of them all.
Right. It's like it's their Super Bowl of horse racing. You know, it would be like Dale Earnhardt Jr. in his prime winning the Daytona 500, but they took it away at the end because his tires were overinflated. Right? Seriously.
Don't mention inflation on this network, because all of a sudden I'm going to get, the phone lines are going to light up.
Overinflated. Oh, yeah, so Brady could deflate the footballs, but Dale Earnhardt Jr. won the Daytona 500 with overinflated tires.
Thanks.
Oh, wow. So an immaculate reception. Some say that, you know, the double touches by the offense, right? And did it touch the ground? There's some.
That's a good one.
Get the sports. There's been a lot of crazy endings. So the Kentucky Derby, we're talking about it. People are talking about it. So if you want to join in, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. You can comment on the ending of the Kentucky Derby. Is it one of the most, if not the most controversial call to end a sporting event in American history? Also, the most important warrior, and we'll get into that next hour, even though they lost tonight, Durant. I don't know how they lose Durant and still can win the West. I don't. And then, speaking of winning the West, I'm starting to get on this East bandwagon that Milwaukee, I said it all along, it would be Milwaukee and the Warriors in the NBA Finals, but when Kyrie's on, Boston is tough. And Philly is just shocking me what they're doing. Speaking of Kyrie and Boston, Bill, listening on the Sports Hub, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
How's it going tonight?
How you doing, Billy?
Not too good. I just want to say everybody around here, and I even did love Brad Stevens for a while, but I just don't think he's one of those coaches, even going back to Butler, that, you know, he overachieves what he has, and it's just I think it's a simple game plan. You know, I don't know why everybody, including Al, was up on Giannis. You just simple. You got to stay back, give him the LeBron, give him the Rondo treatment from back in the day, and make him a jump shooter. I don't know what Stevens' game plan was yesterday, because you get up on him, he's just going to drive by you. You know, Brad Stevens getting way too much credit Now he deserves a lot of the blame. And you know, I'm really disappointed because just to answer your question, if the Celtics are on, we have the most trouble to give Golden State. And I think we should, you know, the expectation was for us to get to the finals, but this is the most important series for the Celtics out of anybody, just for the fact for Kyrie to stay with us, because if we don't get past Milwaukee, he's on his way to New York or somewhere else.
Thank you for the call for the Sports Hub in Boston. And it's simple. When Kyrie's on, Boston is tough to beat. And you're echoing what I was saying, Brad, and I appreciate the call that, you know, I'm looking at Milwaukee when Kyrie is locked in, and even Philly and the defense that they're playing. I thought they were done. I really did. Toast after one game against Toronto. And I thought Toronto was exercising some demons, and all of a sudden they have tight basketballs. And here we go again. And that's one of our questions. Those final four in the East, who has the best chance to win it all, regardless of who wins the West? Because now that game four will be the swing game. If Houston can get that after winning in overtime tonight, Boston has to win that next one. This postseason for the NBA and the NHL has been fantastic. Phenomenal. And then that most important Warrior thing, I'll talk about that after the top of the hour. You can join us during our final, 50 minutes together after we get through McCann and the update. And we'll do the McCann-Lester-Holt comparison. And then Mraz from DA Show, which is heard, is that 9 a.m. until noon, Monday through
That's
Friday?
That's correct. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. till noon.
Yeah, he does a great show. And Sean Mraz, is it Mraz? Mraz? How do they say it officially?
There's some controversy with his name, so he just says Mraz. Keep it simple. Mraz.
Yeah, he'll be filling in. He's tweeted out 37 times in the last 20 minutes. He's filling in for Zach Geld, 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. He does a good show. He's a talent. He has some finger issues right now, so we'll talk about that. Horowitz is doing a great job. Kilkelly back at CBS Sports Radio. We're the only show based on huge opinions, yours and mine.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.